You're listening to Alan Brazil Up Front, exclusively on Audio Boom.
Hello and welcome to Up Front with Alan Brazil. It's sponsored by Bet on Brazil. Go to betonbrazil.com for all the latest odds and offers. Now, Alan this week is actually on holiday. It might be hard to believe, but the great man has taken a bit of a break and he's left me, Ian Abrahams, in charge. And I've got Ray Parler alongside me.
How you doing, Moose? I'm sure you do a great job. And I hope he's got his suntan lotion because it's pretty warm out in Greece where he's gone. And so he might be a little bit burnt.
Might not cover his head properly as well.
Well, hopefully, but he's a little bit more room, Moose. I think you're getting smaller than him now. You've lost a bit of weight, haven't
you? Yeah, probably. Well, listen, tell you someone who might have lost a bit of weight through worry was Sam Allardyce at the weekend. Mm. Listen, new manager, but same old England team. And same old England performance, right?
Well, yeah, it was. I mean, the first half was pretty poor, I thought. I mean, Rooney, don't know where he was playing. Was he playing as a number 10? I thought he'd be a number 10. It was far too deep as a player. No support at all for Harry Kane. At one stage, he was getting it off the back four, and the Slovakian midfield was just sitting there. There was nobody in between the lines to link up with Harry, and that's why he was so isolated. So, poor performance in that first half, I thought. But second half, when Dele Alli came on, so much better. I know they went down to 10 men. Skrtel was on a mission to get sent off, Moose. I don't know what he was trying, but he got sent off. And then Sam, look, credit to him, he tried to change it. Put Theo Walcott a little bit more pace on the right-hand side. He put Daniel Sturridge on as well. But Dele Alli, for me, was the main man who changed the game. He was the one who got in between the lines. And then suddenly Harry Kane was trying to make his runs and Lallana got into the game a little bit more. So I think he'll learn a lot from this. I think Dele Alli will definitely start in the next game. And it'd be interesting to see what Rooney does. Will he be a deeper where you lose Henderson? Or I think Dier would definitely start, but Henderson might be the one who misses out. And Rooney could play that central midfield role that, you know, he done at Manchester United. I know Jose wants him to play a bit higher, but Sam might want him to play a bit deeper.
Where do you stand on that? Because Sam afterwards said, look, it's not for me to tell Wayne Rooney where to play. Actually, I think, mate, it is your job as the manager to tell people where to play. But is he afraid of upsetting Jose by saying to Wayne, I want you deeper?
Well, I think Jose, we already said, he ain't going to play central midfield. So he's going to play as a number 10. So really, in an ideal world, you want your players to be playing for the same position as they do for their clubs. That's what went wrong last year for Roy Hodgson in the Euro. Well, this season in the Euros, because you had Vardy running back on the right-hand side. He's not that. He doesn't do it for Leicester. Sturridge was out of position. He doesn't do it for Liverpool. So I think that's where they went wrong a little bit. But so, you know, ideal world, you want to play Rooney behind the front. He is a good player. There's no doubt. I mean, he can come deep. He's got a good range of passing. But when Sam said that, I said, well, I don't know where he's going to play. He can play where he likes. I think that weren't the right message, really, to come across to the fans.
You've been in a dressing room and a manager said to you, he might say to you every now and again, look, listen, I've got a real problem today, Ray. I need you to play wide or I need you to play maybe right back or what have you. But in general, is a player not able to go up to a manager and say, look, listen, actually, I want to play here or I'm best playing here? I mean, we're seeing it with Sturridge at Liverpool, now with Rooney regarding Man United in England, or do players just literally have to go where they're told?
Well, sometimes you have to, you know, I was a central midfielder. I played on the right-hand side, but we had a system where Overmars would stay forward. I would tuck in a little bit and be like a central midfielder. And when we won the ball back, I go wide again. So you've got to get that understanding. But certainly Rooney, he's played centre-forward all his life. He's been a striker. Now he's dropped a little bit deeper as a number 10, which is no problem. He's got the ability to play the number 10 role. But then he's even dropped even deeper the other night against Slovakia. And I'm thinking, well, he's done that as well for Manchester United. But, you know, what's the point of having Henderson there? If you're going to have him dropping that deep, Henderson don't need to play then. Dele Alli starts the game because he's the one who can link the play up. And it, as I said before, you need someone between Dier, or if it is Henderson, in between the lines to affect the defender, the centre-half, because if you're in that little area where I can't really mark him and the defender comes out, and then suddenly there's a big space where Lallana or Sterling can run into, which drags people out. So they didn't have that at the time, so it was very easy to defend for Slovakia because they just put a bank of four in front of the defence and there was no ball for anybody.
So next at Wembley is Malta. On the one hand, Sam...
Tough game.
It's not. They're a pub team. I could play for Malta.
Absolutely. You could play definitely in the hole, and you could be the main man dictating all the play moves. And I've seen you play. You're a decent player.
You saw me in South Africa, didn't you?
Yeah, absolutely. And you was knocking on my door every morning. Do you want to kick around? I played with people like Dennis Bergkamp, Henri, but you was up there with them sort of guys.
Was I really?
No, not really.
Okay.
No.
Is that why you stitched me up with Cafu?
Yeah, Cafu and Ronald De Boer. I told you I knew Ronald.
Do you know what? He said to me, going into you, Ronald De Boer, I know him really well. So I went over, Ronald De Boer, yeah, I know Ray Parler, great. And then what did you say to me?
I saw Cafu and I said, Moose, go and ask Cafu, I know him as well. Which I didn't really know him as a person.
You didn't know him at all?
I never really said hello to him. No, so Moose was over, oh, I'm with Ray Parler. He said, you can come over and do an interview. He was going, who?
What were you doing at the time?
I was just winding the moose up, but he got a custard pie as usual. Bang, see you later. But you know, it was a great trip. But moose every morning, I said he's wasted being what he does now. He's a journalist, and you know he can go out and interview people, but he should be a football coach. He's too talented not to be a football coach.
Anyway, listen, enough of the football coach stuff, right? So they play Malta next at Wembley. So does Big Sam, knowing that this is basically a game they're definitely going to win, does he completely do away with what he's got now and bring in new players and have a look at them, or does he give the current team another go knowing that they are definitely going to win the game and they can maybe try Rooney in front of the back four?
Yeah, well, he certainly don't need two holding midfielders, does he? I mean, playing against Malta at home, you've got to go all out attack, you know, get that first goal. We see Scotland score five against, I know they've got two men sent off, and probably a little bit unlucky one of them getting sent off, but you know, we're at Wembley, let's go out and attack and score goals. It'd be interesting to see what he does up front, because at the moment, Harry Kane's not really firing on all cylinders. Looks a little bit, you know, he looks a little bit a player with no confidence. And Harry done this last season, you know, in August, he didn't score a goal. But all of a sudden, he scores his first goal and then he had a great season. So hoping he'd be the same going this season. But Sturridge is not playing. So there might be a little bit of a worry up front. Jamie Vardy's probably the only one who's playing on a regular basis. He scored for Leicester this season. So whether he looks at Jamie Vardy to play. But you know what's going to happen. Malta are going to park the bus, whatever bus they've got, as much as they can, just in front of the back four. And it's down to England to create chances and you know and get that first goal. Then get an early goal, you're looking at 5 or 6-0 easy.
Up front with Alan Brazil is sponsored by betonbrazil.com. It's the new betting site for all sports punters with great odds, markets and offers. Now, listeners to this podcast can now get a free £10 when they deposit £10 just by using the promo code ALAN10. That's Alan in capitals and 10, the number 10. Just visit betonbrazil.com and enter the promo code ALAN10 when you deposit your £10 and you'll get £10 free. Also look out for our daily happy hour offers between 5 o'clock and 6 o'clock in the evening. Sign up now at betonbrazil.com. Betonbrazil.com is over 18s only. Betting should be fun, so please gamble responsibly. You mentioned Scotland there, put five past Malta, and it was, I mean, the game hinged on one of the most bizarre penalties I think most people have ever seen. I'm not quite sure why the referee gave it and sent the bloke off for Malta, but they won 5-1. I mean, did you see signs there that maybe Gordon Strachan's men could push England for top spot?
Well, I don't think so. I mean, Scotland, look, they're much more tech-minded now. I think they've got better players going forward. It was always knew Scotland as a nation that defend well. You know, everybody's organised, everybody gets in, like the midfielders sit in front of the back four. But now, I think they're a lot more attack-minded. I think Richie's a good player. Snodgrass obviously got a hat-trick the other night. So they've got good players going forward. But I still think they've got a lot of weaknesses as well. I mean, the defence is not as good as it used to be. And England on their day should be definitely beating Scotland. Now, look, we talk about a derby, we talk about the Old Firm derby, we talk about a North London derby, Merseyside derby. This is a proper derby. So if Scotland play to the best they can ability, England have a couple of players have off days, then you never know. But if everybody's on the ball and everybody's ready to go, I think England have got too much quality to worry about Scotland.
You played for England. Did you miss not playing against Scotland?
I played in a game when they beat us at Wembley.
Don
Hutchinson,
I thought, for about 30
seconds. Which,
I wasn't,
you know,
sure whether you didn't start with the hairdresser before or after.
Yeah,
that.
No, that wasn't the game. And, you know, I also played in the last ever game at Wembley with Kevin Keegan.
I remember
Germany.
That.
So, you know, I've had some bad performances, or bad results playing for England, but certainly, you know, I think it's, if you look for our team, I know we've got quality, and no, probably on paper we should have beat Iceland in the Euros, but, you know, I think Scotland are be hoping to get for second place and maybe get in the playoffs.
Did you see anything the other night at all? Or, you know, do you think Scotland have got anything that could worry England, apart from the fact it's a derby, apart from the psychological?
Yeah, I mean, look, I think Gordon Strachan will wind them up. Say, look, let's get the tackles in. Let's try and affect them. Try and wind them up. Look, there's one thing about Dele Alli, if he does play, which I think he will play on a regular basis very soon, is that you can wind him up. So there'll be people trying to snap at his ankles and trying to get him to react. And in these sort of games, you never know. I mean, if one incident, you get a man sent off or someone bites and suddenly you're down to 10 men, then anything can happen. But I'm sure Sam will get his players exactly where he wants them, ready for the game. And I think that if they can play the way they can, they can win the game very comfortably. But if they play like they did against Iceland, then it could be a different story.
Showing our age now, when we were kids, they had some great players, Scotland. And
oh, absolutely.
Alan Hansen, World Cup, Kenny Dalglish.
Alan Brazil. Not Alan Brazil.
Alan went to a World Cup.
Yeah, he did. Archie Gemmell, Alan Hansen, Graham Souness. What
David
a player
Neary
he was.
Scored that goal.
Yeah, I remember the game. I think they scored too early, though, against Brazil
they
that day.
They probably did, didn't they?
Ended up losing 4-1.
Why haven't they kicked on? I mean, we're going to talk about Wales in a minute and Republic of Ireland, Northern Ireland, all the Euros. Why haven't Scotland kicked on? Why are they...
Well, it's tough. I mean, the Scottish League isn't the best. We know that. And now I'm so pleased that, obviously, Rangers are back in it. Gives that a little bit more competition because, you know, when Celtic would... They're 1-20 on before the season even starts. So that's how bad the league is. Who gets a league when you're like that? Even Spain, Real Madrid, Barcelona, Atletico. Bayern Munich might be a very odds-on favourite to win. Even France might be changing a little bit. So it's not the greatest league in the world, but I don't know. I mean, we look at grassroots football. Have they got enough youngsters coming through? Have they got enough... Republic of Ireland going to be the same. Robbie Keane's just retired. Suddenly, have they got enough youngsters who's going to take... what Robbie Keane's done for their country. So I think a lot of people are a little bit worried about it, and it's down now to lower levels, under 16, under 17, under 18, to produce these players to maybe one day challenge the likes of, you know, the big sides like Germany, Spain, if they can.
Wales have got a gem in Gareth Bale.
Yep.
I mean, third best player in the world?
Well, he's certainly he's been brilliant.
Where would you
absolutely
put him in
superb.
The top 10?
I'll put Messi as number one.
Yeah.
Ronaldo's got to be two. And yeah, I'll put Gareth Bale.
Above Neymar.
Neymar, I'd rather have Gareth Bale for me in my team. I think he brings out, you know, what the running power he's got as well. And what you saw with Gareth during the Euros, his work rate as well. You know, he gets back, makes tackles. And I think Wales, look, they're in a good position at the moment. Everything's going really well for him. He had a great Euros. I always go back to that Belgium game in the Euros. Great performance. It really was. I mean, going a goal down, they kept their composure. The wing backs were superb. The two at the back were brilliant. Chester and Davies alongside Williams. So they've got a good really set up there. Joe Allen, we know, is a good little player in midfield. You've got Ledley there as well. Ramsey, I know, missed this game, but he'll be back for the next one. So look, everything's going well for them. And Chris Coleman has probably looked at it. There might have been a few offers for Chris maybe going to the Premier League. Hull City was mentioned, but he's probably looking at it and saying, look, we've done so well, the late Gary Speed has started it, and I'm going to continue the success of this team. And I'm hoping they get through, because we want as many home nations as we can into the World Cup, because we looked at the Euros. I know Scotland wasn't there, but the other nations, Republic of Ireland, Northern Ireland, Wales, what an atmosphere. It was absolutely superb. So that's what we're hoping can happen when they go to Russia in 2018.
I mean, last night, Gareth was more about scoring. Got two. One was a ball given away and he runs in on the keeper, just dinks it over him. Second one's a penalty. Yeah, he goes foul for it and he takes the penalty. I like the first goal he set up. Right-hand side, he's just cut back in. He's put a pinpoint ball between the two defenders so that Sam Vokes can head home from about 6 yards out. And that's what I think, why I think Gareth Bale is so good. He's not just about scoring every goal for Wales. He doesn't mind doing the assist. I mean, you could even say Joe Allen's goal, you know, shot from the edge of the box goes in. It was from a corner initially taken by Bale, so he had a hand in all four goals.
Yeah, he's a superb player, Boos. I mean, you don't go for 80 million if you're not that good. I think he's improved so much. I've watched him so many times at Spurs. You can see the quality he had. So look, he's a massive club now, Real Madrid, one of the biggest clubs in the world, and he's got better. He's not phased him. I'd love to see him back in the Premier League, as a lot of supporters would, but I think he'd be staying at Real Madrid for and I think he's probably just as important, or maybe more important than Ronaldo now, going forward. I know Ronaldo's getting a little bit older, and Gareth probably now is in his prime. So it's great that Welsh have got such a superstar already a superstar. And if Ramsey and if players of that calibre as well can step up, then Wales are a very good side.
Can I just ask you, we've spoken about England now, Scotland and Wales. In all three games, Slovakia, Malta and Moldova, none of those teams came out to win the game. Slovakia had 10 men behind the ball, England had to break them down. Malta was largely the same. Yep. And certainly last night in Cardiff, even at 2-0 down, Moldova had everybody behind the ball. What is the worth of these games?
I don't know. I mean, I really agree with, I think a lot of people have said, why don't these sort of teams have their own little league? Because I think it's a waste of time. A lot of them, San Marino, Luxembourg. And
Liechtenstein got beat 8 last night. Seven in the second half.
Exactly. So why don't they have their little tournament, and the winners of that tournament go into the groups? And you get a lot of confidence from San Marino. Do you think San Marino enjoy getting beat 8-0 every week? You know, maybe suddenly they might score a couple of goals. They might suddenly start competing with these sort of sides. So I think it's a waste of time. But at the moment, the rules are that they are in these groups, and whether they're learning a lot from it, I don't know. But certainly I believe that they should have their own little group. The winners of that, of the smaller nations and the ones who may be getting better, but they can have their little, and whoever wins that group, they go into the big group with the likes of Germany, Spain, England, Italy, whoever's in it.
Good start for Northern Ireland, 0-0 away to Czech Republic, but
great result.
Saw again, they haven't got a goal threat.
No, well, the problem you have is the balance between Northern Ireland. I mean, they're a great defensive unit. McCauley's been brilliant. Johnny Evans as well. But it's when you win the ball back and it goes forward to Lafferty, then who's going to join up with them? Because they're so deep at times. You've got to have the right balance. And I think it's tough for Northern Ireland. I think it was a brilliant result, though. Czech Republic had their chances, but they didn't take them. But going away to a nation like Czech Republic, a point is very good. And I think Michael O'Neill's done a wonderful job with the players he's got. And another problem they've got is, and you might look at other nations as well, is when your players are not playing on a regular basis. You know, people like Lafferty, they're not playing week in, week out, which is a big problem for the manager.
That could be a problem for England soon, by
absolutely,
the way.
Yeah. You might have that as a
Premier
problem.
League. Just quickly, Republic of Ireland. I'm not going to talk much about the game. I mean, it went ahead after a pitch inspection. It was boggy, cut up badly. Good result, 2-2. Just want to ask you quickly, Martin O'Neill afterwards said, I'll sign the contract, the extensions of my contract, or a new one with Republic of Ireland soon. Hull have been sniffing around like they were with Chris Coleman. If you were Martin O'Neill, have you taken them as far as you can go, with Robbie Keane having gone?
Yeah, it's going to be difficult for Republic of Ireland. Lost one of their best players, not just on the pitch, but in the dressing room area as well, which is very important. But I think Martin O'Neill, you know, you're managing your country. It might suit Martin because you get a lot more spare time. You'll be able to watch more games. Some managers like that. Some managers don't. They like the day-to-day basis of being in a club manager. But I think Martin will look down and speak to Roy Keane and people like that and say, look, what can we bring? And again, a little bit like Scotland, have they got enough youngsters coming through? Have they got another Robbie Keane coming through the system? Have they got another sort of Gareth Bale like Wales have got? So that's what they're all hoping to get, a real key player, a couple of key players to push them on to the next level. But it was a good result, though. 2-2, the old Desmond Moose, you take that away to Serbia. So I think Martin will be delighted with a point in that first game.
Last 3 or 4 minutes of the Upfront podcast then with Alan Brazil.
I'm enjoying this, Moose.
Sponsored by Bet on Brazil. How are you, Ray?
I'm not really very good at the moment. You see me limping up the stairs.
What's wrong with you, right?
Well, I don't know why. I made 3 minutes. We played in a massive charity game at the weekend, and my knee's really bad. I'm going to have an MRI soon on that, so I'll get that sorted out. But I had a little spell when I got into a good area, and I was thinking, and the goalkeeper was running back.
This is 3 minutes in.
This is Arsenal AC Milan. Again, brilliant turnout, 55,000 plus.
So it wasn't like in front of a couple of
people.
No,
it wasn't. And I was going to smash it, and then I thought I might just chip it just near the bar, and hopefully he won't get back in time. And I was in between the goalpost and the corner flag, which wasn't great. And I'm glad he didn't hit the corner flag. And then suddenly I'm limping off. So it wasn't the greatest of comebacks, Moose, but I've got a few problems with my knees. And once that's done, that's compensating. Other parts of my legs are going there because of my knees. So if I get that ready, I'm sure I'll be ready for the next game. But it was a great turnout. It was great to see the boys.
Let's just leave it there for a second. You say you're sure you're ready for the next game. Afterwards, I caught up with Arsene Wenger, and this is what he told me.
I think he remembered that he scored a goal in the FA Cup final, and that was his killer, was he tried to shoot from a distance and without maybe being warmed up enough. And so he's a disappointed boy of a day.
Do you think that might be the last we see of Ray Parlour in an Arsenal shirt?
No, why? These charity games we can repeat, you know, and he will certainly next time even prepare better.
So there we are. Right, he says you've got to prepare better next time.
To be fair, I didn't even go out. I done drive time on Talk Sports. So I was really good. I didn't go to the pub in the afternoon. I got all ready. I had loads of water, pasta, went to bed early, and then suddenly that happened. So really, I should have gone out. I've had a nightmare. I should have gone out, and I should have phoned Alan up and gone out with him instead. But yeah, I mean, look, apart from my injury, Moose, it was great to see some of the old players. Davy Seaman played the first half. Pires, but he trains every day though, so he's at the stadium every day. He gets the injuries fit. Freddie Ljungberg's a coach at Arsenal under 15, so he's playing football, lots of football.
What about Kanu? How old's
Martin?
Kanu?
Martin Keown was trying to get on, but they wouldn't let him get on.
Describe what happened. Go on.
Well, he kept shouting to the boss. Boss, can I play the last 6 minutes of the first half? No, Martin, sit down. And in the end, he was getting frustrated. At one stage, he went missing. I thought he was going to go on for AC Milan. He's gone over there. There was lacking a few players. So in the end, he did get on, but he tried to nutmeg Desai as well, Martin, and we hammered him after the game. What are you trying to do, Martin? Just keep it simple. He's trying to nutmeg Desai and Kanu. Blimey, I don't know how old he is now, Kanu, but he rolled back the years and scored two headers. Now, in my career, I played with Kanu for many years. I mean, must have been two or three, 4 years, even longer. And I've never seen him score a header. And he scored two goals by his head, which were good goals as well. And then obviously,
in the space of about 20 minutes.
And then he scored the penalty to get his hat trick. So Kanu was on fire. Robert Pires, as you rightly said. Gilberto, still a very good, efficient
great
player.
Great names, weren't they?
Yeah. I mean, Jules Grimondi weren't happy because I come off after 3 minutes and he didn't expect to get on that early. But he done well. Petit got injured. Overmars
got injured.
Back to himself. A little bit of pace, but he done his hamstring as well. So in the end, it was quite a few ice packs were needed in that dressing room area, Moose, after the game. But he was brilliant. And end of the day, they've raised £1 million for children who are going to get pitches now all around the world. Six or seven pitches, so great calls. I'm sure they'll be doing it next season.
Last question. I'm an investigative journalist, right? I asked the man afterwards. I actually said to him, how old are you, Kanu? Did you not think during your 4 years at Arsenal, I don't know how old Kanu is?
Well, when he was 22, he used to walk out like my granddad. So he looks a little bit stiff before training, this is. And we used to say to Kanu, when you have your birthday, you go up a year, not down a year. And that was what he said. And he just looked at us like, started laughing. But he's a great character, you know. And he really likes all the lads and banter. Jens Lehmann was loving it. He liked all the banter as well. And it was brilliant to see Kanu. And I'm sure the next match, I think they're going to try and organise another one. Maybe Real Madrid or something.
You might last 6 minutes.
Or maybe they'll be a little bit better. So I'll make sure I get my knee done, Moose, and I'll be ready to go. And you might even get a job as coach. Who knows? Brilliant. You might even play.
I'd love to. Listen, that was the Upfront podcast with Alan Brazil, sponsored by Bet on Brazil. Ray,
Moose, always a pleasure, mate. Always a pleasure. And I think you're better than Alan. I'm going to get bummed out now, Al.
Brought to you by Audioboom.
BetOnBrazil.com is for over 18s only. Betting should be fun, so please bet responsibly. For more on this, visit gambleaware.co.uk.